Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, if you guys like to cook outdoors, and you oughta, you should check out the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. So this is a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned with food safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge, reaching all the way up to 500 degrees. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates and I am your host. I am joined by Mike Taglier as always, and you can find us on Twitter at KyleYNFL and at Mike Taglier NFL. Tags, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's good. It's good. It's a mock draft Monday, and we're going to be doing a draft here with one of my favorites, someone I've actually had a chance to talk with in person. Sometimes these relationships we do just online, but I've actually talked with our guest in person. Great guy, even better analyst. I'm really looking forward to the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. We are joined by Jamie Eisenberg from CBS Sports. He can be found on Twitter at Jamie Eisenberg. Jamie, thanks for taking some time out of your day to chat with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, let's just get right into it, right? Drafts are getting ready to happen, so let's just get right into the content for today. No small talk. Let's talk some football. So, but before we get into the draft itself, I want to make sure that everyone knows that we are doing this using the multi-user draft function over at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. These are super quick to go through. You can knock out a few of these on your lunch break at work, and it's incredibly easy to use since it uses the same interface as the draft simulator. Tags, I don't know about you. I love how realistic these picks are compared to some other sites, though, because you're still competing against other human opponents while having smart and realistic bots filling in the gaps.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I mean, I think everybody that's out there that's played fantasy football for quite some time and doesn't know about this tool, you've probably sat inside of a mock draft lobby, and then you get to the draft after waiting 20 minutes, filling your queue with players. And then all of a sudden someone drafts two quarterbacks with their first two picks and it ruins the entire mock draft. And I'm talking about a one quarterback league where somebody might draft a defense with the first or second round just to be a troll. Fortunately, you're never going to run into trolls here. So it's a good time.
Yeah, for sure. Our multi-user drafts can be found in the Draft Wizard's mock draft lobby at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. The NFL season is less than a month away now, so it's time to get some practice drafts in. Again, check it out at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. Also, don't forget that you can watch this mock draft unfold by going over to youtube.com/fantasypros. Not only will this show, along with all of our other NFL podcasts, be there, but we will also continue to host live streams and roll out quick-hitting informative videos for you. Make sure to like the videos if you enjoy the content and subscribe to the channel to get notifications for all of our future videos. This enables us to continue pumping out the quality content that you love. All right, guys, we ready to draft?
I am 100% ready. And so you guys know that are listening at home, this is a half PPR mock draft. We're going to do one quarterback slot, two running backs, three wide receivers, one tight end, two flex spots, one defense, and six bench. And guys, we don't even know our draft spots yet, so I'm about to click randomize on the start of the draft here to see what draft spots we get. We are going to have 90 seconds per pick, so you can explain your thought process, whatever it is that you want to do. Obviously, if you're drafting next to someone like Yates, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do, but to be fair, Yates, by now Don't people know what we're like we know what each other's going to do throughout the draft, right?
100%. We know based on who's coming up on the clock that who the other person is going to draft. Jamie is the wild card here. I have no idea what Jamie's going to do. So should be fun.
It's the way I like it.
Yeah, Jamie, it's going to be fantastic to hear you walk through it, because Jamie does a whole lot on his Twitter channel. He goes, he does a series. It's hashtag I want to mock, and he does it so much. So Jamie's probably a pro at this. He's probably done, I don't know, hundreds of mock drafts by this point in the off season. And knowing that we don't have any preseason, I mean, this is basically what you're going to see in draft season, is it not?
I think so. I mean, I we're going to get some injuries, obviously, which is going to be unfortunate as the training camp process unfolds. You know, you may have the Henry Rugg situation of somebody moving furniture and cuts themselves in that capacity. But, I think for the most part, this is what's going to be. I'm surprised that we're not seeing more people doing their drafts if they have an opportunity, real world notwithstanding, but to do some drafts in person, that you have a little bit more time, a little bit more freedom, if, again, you're able to under the real life circumstances.
Of course. Okay, guys. Well, the draft order, I got the number 2 overall pick, and then it looks like Tags has the number 5, and then Jamie down at the number 9. So obviously we saw Christian McCaffrey go number 1 overall. I don't think that that's really in question. He's pretty much going to go number 1 overall in pretty much every home league, except I wanted to ask you, Tags, we're going to see like some home leagues. We're going to see Lamar Jackson go at the 101 overall. Are we not?
I wouldn't even take him at 101 overall in a 2-quarterback league, to be honest with you. I'm still taking Christian McCaffrey because he's just not replaceable. You can't replace his production.
No, I completely agree. But it's just going to be crazy how we get into home leagues and then, one person is just going to absolutely just go for it with the 1 quarterback at the number 1 overall pick. But I'm going to stick true. I'm not taking Lamar Jackson here, guys. I am taking Saquon Barkley at the 102. And as we look at this season, Saquon Barkley bouncing back from an injury-plagued season, at least through the first half of the year, right, where we saw his production take a dip. However, we need to remember just how incredible of an athlete and running back Saquon Barkley is. I think CMC is the number 1 overall pick. Easy. I absolutely agree with that. But then if we look at it, I don't think there's much of a gap between Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley. Jamie, at the top of the draft, do you agree here that Saquon Barkley belongs kind of closer in this tier with Christian McCaffrey than some people may admit?
If we're getting rookie Saquon Barkley, absolutely. If we're getting the guy that finished the last 3 games of the season, absolutely. The one concern with Barkley, and it's such a small one, is that when he had the statue of Eli Manning at quarterback, the dump-off passes you knew were going to be there. With Daniel Jones, he's going to run a little bit. And so, it's the reception total. I think that is where the number is going to end up. Is he going to be an 80-catch guy, like we saw in his rookie campaign, or a 50-catch guy? And if he's an 80-catch guy, then he's going to push McCaffrey, if everybody's healthy, to be the number 1 running back. If he's a 50-catch guy, I think he's still the number 2 guy, but that's a downgrade. So we'll see how it all unfolds. Remember, Barkley's got a lot of mouths to feed in that offense around him if all those receivers perform like they're capable of with, the Slayton, Shepard, Tate, Ingram. They battled injuries last year, but it's going to be fun to watch it unfold. I'm still taking Barkley too. I guess that's the long answer to your question.
For sure. Well, we saw Ezekiel Elliott go at the 3rd spot, Michael Thomas at the 4, and then Tags, you ended up taking Alvin Kamara here at the 105. Go ahead and explain your thought process here versus, taking Kamara versus Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry, who went right after him.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with Dalvin Cook. I think that he actually has a shot at being the RB1 this year. Gary Kubiak, a lot of people are going to talk about Kevin Stefanski and that he was the mind behind that Vikings run game last year. I think it was Gary Kubiak, who was the assistant head coach. Now he's taking over as the coordinator. Dalvin Cook is the heartbeat of that offense. Adam Thielen, now over 30 years old. They added Justin Jefferson, but he went on the COVID list, missing some of the training camp. Dalvin Cook does catch a whole lot of passes. He didn't have any receiving touchdowns last year, despite catching a whole lot of passes, so there's some positive regression there. But Alvin Kamara, to me, is just he's attached to the Saints offense, a team that lacked some rushing attempts last year. We found out that he was playing through an injury as the year went on. He said he injured it in week six, but yet he still managed to average, I think, 4.7 or 4.9 yards per carry on the year. Alvin Kamara is just ridiculous, but I don't want to take too much away from Jamie, who's on the clock at number 9 with about 20 seconds left to make his selection. It looks like Davante Adams is still on the board. Is that the route you're going to go?
No, I'm going to go Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I think he's he's got the opportunity to be a star in that offense, with Damian Williams opting out and, the fact that they spent the capital on him that they did with the first round pick in the NFL draft. I think he's going to be a, successful receiver there. I think it's going to be a little bit of a myth is maybe the word, that he has to, you know, step in and be this exceptional pass blocker right away, because they don't really ask their running backs to do that much. He's going to have to do it, but, you know, not like he's going to stand back there and just have to be an extra offensive lineman for Patrick Mahomes. So in an Andy Reid offense where we know 15 of 21 times they've gotten, top 12 production from a per game basis in PPR. I think you look at what he did the last time he had a rookie on this team in Kareem Hunt. He was the league leader in rushing. There's just so much to like about him. And so I think he's a first round pick. I'm surprised he actually lasted to 9.
I agree. And guys, I don't know if I jinxed it.
Yeah.
But Lamar, I totally did. Okay. Lamar Jackson went at the 108 and then Patrick Mahomes at the 111.
This is like a home league, 100%.
And this is perfect because I think it's good. I think it's good for us to be able to look at what happens if two quarterbacks go within the top 11 picks in the first round, and we can talk about it. But let's double back. Jamie, you've got 10 seconds left on the clock here for your fourth pick of the second round. And who did you end up going with here?
I went with Miles Sanders. Maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on that one too, but I think you look at what he did to close the season, the lack of anybody being brought in of significance to this Philadelphia backfield. You know, he's going to be the first workhorse in the Doug Peterson era over 16 games. He's had pockets of using guys as a featured guy. They've tried the trade for Jay Ajayi, what we saw there. You know, I think we're going to get an opportunity for Miles Sanders, who's, you know, while they're getting receivers healthy and adding to it with Jalen Reagor, he'll work in the passing game. I just love the setup for him. I think he's going to have a big sophomore season. It's funny to tie in both those guys of Edwards-Helaire and Miles Sanders. I got a chance to speak with Brian Westbrook last week. Is the comparison that, you know, everybody made with Edwards-Helaire following the NFL draft, and then Westbrook clearly follows the Eagles. And he was so excited about both these guys with the chance that they have rookie and sophomore respectively. Not that I needed to be sold, but he sold me even more on how good Miles Sanders could be for this Eagles offense.
I absolutely love it. I have both Sanders and Edwards-Helaire within my top 10 in a half PPR format. So I absolutely love the value there. Tags, we saw a wide receiver run. DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, and Chris Godwin go between Jamie and your pick. You got 10 seconds left on the clock. Where are you going?
Yeah, I was really hoping that Julio would fall to me, because Julio has been falling to the middle of the second round. And at 208, I didn't think it was going to happen. Unfortunately, he did come off the board two selections before. And I ended up taking a running back that this is the first time I've ever taken him in a mock draft, because I'm unwilling to spend what some people are. This running back, Josh Jacobs, has gone at the end of the first round in a lot of drafts that I've done. The very least, he's going at the top of the second round. And I always felt like, stop drafting him at a ceiling. There's some running backs up there that have the floor that he does, but they present a higher ceiling because they're part of higher scoring offenses. But to get Josh Jacobs at the end of the second round, I feel like it's a safe pick. I could have gone Aaron Jones, and that's honestly a guy that I do like quite a bit, but I already have Alvin Kamara on my team. That's one running back that doesn't get 20 touches per game. Kamara's probably going to be around 18 touches per game. That's not elite running back territory, but he's highly efficient. Aaron Jones is another guy that's probably going to see around that 16 to 18 touch range. So I really wanted to get a workhorse running back to be a little bit stable in that RB2 slot, because as I mentioned before, in your drafts, you can't win your fantasy football draft in your first two rounds, but you can certainly lose it. So to get someone as stable as Josh Jacobs, who I know he's talked about getting 60 receptions in this offense, I'm not really buying all the coach speak and all that stuff, but I do believe he's a stable running back to have as my RB2.
Where do you think Jacobs comes out with the catches?
I think he's probably going to finish around 35 to 40 receptions, to be honest. I just feel like there's so many mouths in that offense now. Like the offense last year, they did throw the ball quite a bit. The defense should get better because they're healthier. And then you add in like the guys that are shorter area targets, Lynn Bowden, Henry Ruggs. These guys are guys you get the ball in their hands right from the line of scrimmage and you expect them to do things after the catch. That's directly going to eat into Jacobs. And then it's not like you can totally avoid throwing the ball to Darren Waller anymore. So I just feel like it's a little bit overboard. Jacobs is a great receiver. He should be used. It's kind of like a Joe Mixon factor, but he still plays for the same head coach, right?
Man, if he gets 35 to 40 catches, he's going to be a first round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Jacobs, you're talking about guaranteed volume on the ground and then high scoring upside potentially. I mean, we saw it last season. He had relatively high, rushing touchdown totals. And I think to get him here at the 208, the other running backs that are you're looking at their tags, I like the selection of Jacobs there. Guys, I went with Allen Robinson at the 211, and I think looking at Robinson, we're talking in the same vein of Josh Jacobs, guaranteed volume. You know, we're looking at Allen Robinson as the wide receiver one in this offense. I love Allen Robinson this year, and I think that to get him here at the 211, I'm perfectly comfortable with him as my wide receiver one. We saw Kenny Golladay and George Kittle go in between my picks. I'm now back on the clock at the 302. Guys, I'm going to go with Austin Eckler here. And looking at Austin Eckler, it was between Eckler and Jonathan Taylor for me personally. And Eckler in a half PPR, I think he doesn't have the upside that he did last year, right? I don't think that the passing volume is going to be anywhere close to what it was with 597 pass attempts in 2019 with Phillip Rivers as the quarterback. However, you're looking at Tyrod Taylor keeping the ball relatively around the line of scrimmage, and Eckler has shown that he can be a dynamic threat after the catch, dynamic receiver out of the backfield. I think he's going to be just fine. To get him as my RB2, I really like that.
That's a steal.
Yeah, this is later than you typically see him go at the end of the second round, but I think the reason he was pushed into the third is because we saw those two quarterbacks come off the board.
For sure.
Kittle asking to 301. I mean, I probably would have gone Kittle over Allen Robinson at 211 if I were you, but man, if Kittle falls to the third round, you guys just gifted the Christian McCaffrey owner, George Kittle, and, you know, Golladay went here. But I'm really ticked off, though, because at 305, I was sitting there looking at it. And I was like, you know what? I said the first two rounds were safety. Third round, I'm going for upside here. I wanted Odell Beckham, and he was sniped. And if you watch the YouTube video, you're going to see my head just go back as I watch him come off the board. So I'm kind of in a weird spot because I feel like Juju Smith-Schuster he's going to be my pick, but I don't like drafting him here just because I feel like you can get him later. So it's almost like ideally I would trade back a little bit. I have noticed him coming up draft boards a little bit, but I like Juju more than I do Mike Evans, just due to the situations, the volume concerns I have with Mike Evans under Tom Brady, the average depth of target that's going to happen, because Mike Evans is a guy that he's not a guy that generates a whole lot of separation. He's a guy that relies on targets, and he's going to win those jump ball scenarios. Tom Brady is not a quarterback who throws the ball into tight coverage very often. He doesn't take very many risks, and that's why you see him throw continually less than 6 interceptions per year. So to know that Juju's going back to the slot with Ben Roethlisberger, Deontay Johnson's going to see a lot of those top-tier cornerbacks in the perimeter. I'm going to take Juju as my wide receiver 1 in the third round to pair with Alvin Kamara and Josh Jacobs.
You don't think that Tom Brady's adopted no risk it, no biscuit?
I mean, if he hasn't by this point in his career, I mean, he did it with Randy Moss. That was like the first time we saw Brady just say, you know what, screw it. He went full Jay Cutler. He said, "Degaff it. I'm going to throw it up and let him win." I don't think Mike Evans is Randy Moss.
No.
All right, Jamie, Juju Smith-Schuster obviously went with tags, and then Mike Evans off the board, Adam Thielen, and then Todd Gurley, the pick before yours. Who are you going here with at the 309?
I'm going DJ Moore. I'm a big DJ Moore guy. And, you know, you mentioned Allen Robinson. I think Juju qualifies, and I think DJ Moore does as three guys who are going to be in the 100 catch range. Maybe if things go really well for all three and things go a little bit poorly for a guy like Michael Thomas or Julio Jones, I don't know if Davante Adams or Tyreek Hill qualify as like guys who could challenge the league in receptions. But I think these three guys can based on the role that they'll play in their offenses and what the amount of targets that they'll see. You know, so DJ Moore with 135 targets in 15 games. I think a better quarterback play will hopefully lead to some more targets. Now, obviously, they add Robbie Anderson, and they're not going away from McCaffrey. They're not going to go away completely from Curtis Samuel or Ian Thomas, who's now the tight end there. But I think DJ Moore is a special player. The touchdowns have been the biggest thing for him, so he's a little bit better in PPR than half or non. But if he can get to 6 touchdowns for the season as opposed to 6 for his career, then I think he's going to have the chance for a really, really special season.
Yeah, I love your roster so far. I mean, you're on the clock at 404. You got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders, and DJ Moore. I mean, Moore is a borderline wide receiver 1 for me. He's a high end 2, but I think you can make the argument that the volume is going to be, you know, for him to be a wide receiver 1. So I like your roster so far.
Thank you. I'm going to add to it with, I like 30 receivers, so I think that's
oh,
the
same. Oh, no, you James. Didn't!
Oh, did I take your guy?
Yes.
Yeah, both of ours.
Yep.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm a big Calvin Ridley guy, too.
And then Robert Woods came off the board. This is the end of my life right here.
Yeah, we've spent pretty much all offseason talking about how we love Calvin Ridley this mm-hmm. year. And then Robert Woods is another guy that we really, really like. And so to get him, I think to get him where you got him, Jamie, is an absolute steal. That's why you got the reaction from both of us, because if you can get Calvin Ridley in the fourth round, I think you're going to be in a very good spot for your league, you know, your team, your roster this year. And to get him as your wide receiver too, to pair with a guy who has guaranteed volume like DJ Moore, I think is a very, very smart way to build your roster.
So like I said, I like third year receivers, and I've done a lot of stuff on this, you know, like 15 years of talking to Jerry Rice and Steve Smith, Anquan Boldin, Chris Carter. You know, anytime I come across these guys, I ask them about, you know, the third year theory, and a lot of what they say and coaches as well is the first year, you're sort of deer in the headlights. Second year, you're getting that rapport down with your quarterback, understanding how to read defenses. And third year is sort of when everything clicks. And so we had Matt Ryan on one of our shows a couple weeks ago, and I asked him about, you know, Calvin Ridley in his third season, and he said he's just playing. He's not thinking. He's moving freely.
I love that.
You can see the athleticism. And I was like, my eyes just got big. I was like, this is everything that I hear for years, and now a quarterback is telling me the same thing on the back end of that. I mean, I think if he, you know, we saw it last year with Chris Godwin passing Mike Evans as the young guy stepping over the older player, and Mike Evans is not as old as Julio Jones is at this point. I don't know if that's going to happen this year, but I think the gap is going to close. And so I'm glad you guys are excited about Calvin Ridley. I am as well, and I hope everybody that's drafting buys into Calvin Ridley in this third season.
I think that even if the gap doesn't close in this offense, there is more than enough volume for Ridley to be a wide receiver two, borderline wide receiver one. So, and if the gap does narrow, then goodness gracious, we've got a top, you know, 10 wide receiver this season. So we're going to take a quick second here to thank today's sponsor, Pristine Auction. They have daily auctions ending nightly with hundreds of items, and there's always something perfect for a fan of any team. They guarantee authenticity, and all items come with authentication from only the most trusted sources. Here's the thing, though, about Pristine Auction, guys. It's insanely affordable. I went back and looked at some recent items that were sold on Pristine Auction, and listen to this. A Cam Akers signed Rams mini helmet went for just $36. Also, an Eddie Jackson signed jersey went for only $43. It's quick and free to register, so head over to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. And when registering, enter in Fantasy Pros, all one word, in the registration code field to receive a $5 credit for your first order. Again, that's pristineauction.com. All right, Tags, let's go to you. You drafted James Conner here. Obviously, he comes with injury concerns, and there are going to be a lot of people that are just off on drafting James Conner. I know that you've been changing your tune recently. What are you thinking here with drafting James Conner at the 408?
Yeah, you know, we talked on the show the other day is that James Conner, if we were guaranteed 16 games, he'd be going as a borderline first round talent. So the risk reward factor is there at the end of the fourth round for me at 408. I wrote up the primer and I put in there that James Conner, I could justify spending a third round pick on him, but fortunately, you don't even have to. You can get him in the fourth round, and you know he presents top 12 running back upside. And that's just, it gets harder and harder to find, because I'm working on a sleeper article right now, and then you go through it and you say, all right, well, last year you look at the quarterback, you can find tons of them. Lamar Jackson, you go wide receiver, Devontae Parker, AJ Brown, DJ Chark, McLaurin, tight end, Mark Andrews, Darren Waller. You find all these names, but at running back, you just don't. Unless there's an injury, it's very rare you're going to find a running back late that presents that top 10, top 12 upside that James Conner does, that he's shown when he's on the field. So James Conner, in the, you know, 408, I feel pretty dang good about it.
All right, and then we saw Zach Ertz go off the board, Russell Wilson, and then at the 411, I ended up taking DK Metcalf. And I think that DK Metcalf as your wide receiver too, I'm ecstatic about that, because I think that he has an enormous ceiling this season. With playing with Russell Wilson, arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, pure throwers of the football, and then looking at his opportunity, 17 targets inside the red zone last season, only hauled in 5 of them, but 4 touchdowns. If he maintains that same usage of 17 targets, if he hits around that rate and his reception catch rate comes back up, goodness gracious, we've got incredible opportunity for this guy in this dynamic offense. I think he can move up into a wide receiver one. Now, I'm not projecting it, but I think he can get there. So to have him as a wide receiver two to pair with Allen Robinson, I really like that. Jamie, what's your thoughts here on DK Metcalf this year?
I like Metcalf. I like Lockett more just because I think he'll play in the slot a little bit more. I know they're talking about moving Metcalf around. That schedule for whoever is the number one outside receiver for Seattle is brutal. And as we saw, Patrick Peterson did a number on Metcalf last year. He's got to get Ramsey twice. I'm a little nervous that he's going to be that much better than he was a year ago. But I think once you start to shuffle through some of these receivers, you know, I like Chark and McLaurin, two guys that are still on the board a little bit better than Metcalf. But he's in the conversation. You know, I think, if, like you said, you get him as your second guy, you're banking on Mr. Unlimited throwing a little bit more, you know, let Russ cook, whatever they're, you know, saying. I hope that's the case, because I think both, you know, the strength of their team, while I like Chris Carson, I think the strength of their team is clearly Russell Wilson and these pass catchers. The only other thing that's sort of looming still is, are they going to bring back Josh Gordon? And I don't think Josh Gordon is a significant factor to either guy, but he's going to be somewhat of a factor to those guys. And so what may end up happening is, if they do sign Josh Gordon, then you get maybe a little bit more reduced price on Lockett and Metcalf, and you could be even better with how those guys should produce.
That's a great point. Jonathan Taylor went at the 412, then Tyler Lockett. that Jamie likes above Metcalf went at the 501. I was back on the clock at the 502. I took my guy, David Montgomery. And so looking at Montgomery, it's kind of the similar argument to Tags and Josh Jacobs. I want volume. And to get volume in the fifth round at the running back to be my RB3, I would like it because David Montgomery is a lock for 250 plus carries in this offense as long as he can stay healthy. And everything indicates that he's going to be fine this year. So Montgomery, I'm not projecting anything crazy as far as a yards per carry or efficiency. I'm not projecting him to be a top 10 running back. But if I can get this solid contributor that I can plug in either in my flex or into my RB2 spot on bye weeks or anything like that, I have a guy who I know is going to get volume. Tags, what do you think about the value here on Montgomery at the 502?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, finding a running back who's going to finish in RB2 territory in the fifth round is very good value, because if you do that, let's say you take a running back in the first round, then you take three straight wide receivers, because it's like money territories. Wide receivers this year, like money territory is like third, fourth round. So if you get David Montgomery in the fifth round, let's say you go running back, tight end, wide receiver, and then you grab your second running back in the fifth round and it's David Montgomery, I think you're going to be extremely pleased with that. It's almost like a modified zero running back approach where you know you can wait on someone like him and get tremendous value. But I will say that this mock draft is just ticking me off constantly. When I selected James Conner last round, I had debated going Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf. And I was like, you know what? One of them is going to be there when I come back on the clock, because someone's always higher on Lockett. Someone's always higher on Metcalf. I felt good with either of them, and unfortunately, neither made it back to me. So I was forced to choose between DJ Chark and Terry McLaurin, and I want to let you guys know I chose DJ Chark, and the reason I did that is because basically I feel like McLaurin is tied to an offense that's probably going to attempt less than 500 pass attempts under Ron Rivera. Last year, they were under 500. They have a very young quarterback. I just don't know how high the ceiling is for someone like Terry McLaurin. I think he's a safe high-end wide receiver 3, maybe even a low-end wide receiver 2, whereas DJ Chark actually flashed true wide receiver 1 potential, and new offensive coordinator Jay Gruden has already talked about DJ Chark is not going to be limited to the perimeter. They're going to move him into the slot this year, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you go back to Gruden with someone like Pierre Garcon, he moved him all over the field. He got him a lot of targets. I think DJ Chark has the potential to explode this year, even if he is attached to the Jaguars offense.
Like you said, Tags, we saw you take DJ Chark there. Your roster is now Alvin Kamara, Josh Jacobs at your running back spots, and then Juju Smith-Schuster, DJ Chark. Then you have James Conner, of course, in your flex. Jamie, you went with Terry McLaurin at the 509. You said that you would have taken him over DK Metcalf at the 411. You got him at the 509. How ecstatic are you right now?
Yeah, very. I think we can all look at this Washington receiving core. I like Steven Sims with, you know, in that sleeper category, late round pick. We'll see what Antonio Gandy-Golden has to offer. They have no tight end to speak of. They just lost, you know, what would arguably be their best running back on paper. We'll see what Antonio Gibson does to help replace Darius Geis. But we saw McLaurin last year was an absolute star as a rookie for a guy that didn't project to be that type of player. And he's going to get as many targets as I think he can handle. And so I think, you know, you guys have said this a few times, especially you, Kyle, about volume, you know, for the two Bears guys that you had. Terry McLaurin's going to get a ton of volume. So I like DJ Chark a ton. I go back and forth. In this format, I would take Chark. In non-PPR, I would take Chark. In PPR, I have McLaurin. Full PPR, I have McLaurin one spot ahead of Chark. So either one of those guys I would have been absolutely thrilled with. But to get McLaurin after the receiver run that we saw as my third option, I'm pretty thrilled about that.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that you're getting Terry McLaurin as your wide receiver 3. You have Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Miles Sanders at your running back spots, and then DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, and then Terry McLaurin. And then you were back on the clock here at the 604. You ended up going running back. Who'd you go with?
I went with Kareem Hunt. You know, he sort of toes the line of a guy that you can start based on what we saw last year in anything that's going to reward points for catches. So, you know, I think he loses a little bit in non-PPR. You had the report from the Browns team website, which I think is a little bit overblown, but the fact that they're going to see 15 carries for each of Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. I think Nick Chubb should have more carries than Kareem Hunt. But if something were to happen to Nick Chubb, he misses any time due to injury, Kareem Hunt in this offense could be an absolute star, as we saw once upon a time when he was the star for the Chiefs backfield. So he's usable as the second guy. He could still be a significant contributor in that role. But if he gets the full-time role for whatever reason, then you know you have what could be a league winner. So he sort of falls slightly under the umbrella of the lottery ticket range, but not a guy you're taking in the sixth round, so I can't call him that. But still, I think if he gets the workload that they're talking about, he's going to be really successful in Kevin Stefanski's offense.
Tags, we've talked a lot this offseason about how COVID-19 can affect the way that we draft. And looking at these guys who could potentially be league winners, does Kareem Hunt fall into that category for you? And would you be willing to take him here at the 604 where Jamie took him?
Yeah, 100%. I'm looking at Jamie's roster right now on the screen, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders, obviously two high upside running backs that should have three down workhorse roles. DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, Terry McLaurin, three guys that are pretty much locked into 100 plus targets, a couple of them 120 plus. And then you add in Kareem Hunt, the upside of him. I actually love Eisenberg's roster right now.
We're playing this out for like, what, $1 million or something?
Yeah. You know what? It's weird though, the teams that I always look back on that I was so excited about that I drafted, I always look back and I'm like, man, I missed out on some value. But looking at it, knowing we're not gonna have any preseason, I would have absolutely zero issues going in with that squad as my starting lineup, because that's a really good football team.
Thank you.
All right, Tags, at the 608, you went with Tyler Boyd to be your wide receiver three, correct?
Yep. Yeah, it's also stealing your guy, obviously. I looked at the draft board because I'm going to be honest, I actually debated Deshaun Watson there. This would have been the first draft that I'd taken Deshaun Watson, but falling to 608, it felt like it was really good value to take him, but I thought that there was a better chance that Watson would get it back to me than Tyler Boyd. So I was like, you know, I'll take Boyd as my wide receiver three and see where we go from there.
All right. And then, Deshaun Watson went the next pick off the board, and then Julian Edelman at the 6'10". At the 6'11", I went with DeAndre Swift, and I now have a roster of Saquon Barkley, Austin Eckler in my running back spots, Allen Robinson and DK Metcalf at wide receiver. And then in my flex, I have David Montgomery and DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift was one of my favorite prospects coming out of this year's draft. I loved his tape, and I think that he is a perfect complement to Kerryon Johnson in this backfield. I am projecting Swift to be the lead dog in this backfield, right? And this guy who's going to carry the majority of the workload. And if he can get, he doesn't have much of a ceiling, right? As long as Kerryon Johnson is on the field, I don't think that he has a very, very high ceiling. But to get DeAndre Swift here at the 6'11", I really like that. And then I'm back on the clock at the 7:02. And I am going to take a guy that I am rising on, and that is Ronald Jones. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that I have been a Keyshawn Vaughn guy, and that I have been hesitant to crown Ronald Jones as the starter, the guy that I want to invest in this backfield. However, if we're looking at Ronald Jones, and I went back after our last podcast and where Tags brought up his catch percentage, I went back and I watched Ronald Jones film, and I watched him catching the football, because that was something that I just had in my mind that he was not, that he didn't excel at. But when I went back and watched film, I actually came away pretty impressed. So I am changing my tune. Ronald Jones has risen up my rankings. Keyshawn Vaughn has come crashing back down. And to get Ronald Jones as my RB5, guys, I have only two wide receivers right now, of Allen Robinson and DK Metcalf, but I love the value later on at wide receiver. So I'm going to load up on these running backs now and get a value of a starting running back in a Tom Brady and Bruce Arians offense here at the 7:02. Jamie, where are you at on Ronald Jones? Do you think that he is the clear guy in this backfield?
I think he's the clear guy in this backfield for now. I think this is the perfect spot for him. I would actually have taken him in the round six range. I think that's based on everything you said. I think that's the spot for him. I don't think Ronald Jones has a Ronald Jones problem per se. He has a Bruce Arians problem. And that's, you know, never a good thing when, you know, you're hoping to be the guy in your backfield. But Bruce Arians is going to lean on his veteran guy, and that's going to make us very unhappy when we see LeSean McCoy in there. You're going to want to throw up every time he's getting a key touch or a key passing down situation. And then we'll find out what happens at the end of the season when Keyshawn Vaughn is hopefully up to speed. And I say that for the Keyshawn Vaughn truthers. But I think when you look at Ronald Jones, obviously, we saw LeSean McCoy couldn't stay on the field for the Chiefs. He wasn't even active. And Keyshawn Vaughn is a rookie without an offseason that's had to be placed on the COVID reserve list. I think he's back, but missed time with being on the COVID reserve list. So Ronald Jones has an opportunity to really establish himself. This is the type of move you make round six, round seven, if he's still sitting there. He loses a little bit in full PPR because I just don't know how much he'll play in those passing down situations. But if he could be, you know, 25-plus catches, he was 30 catches last year. If he stays in that range, you know, he could be a 1,000-yard rusher. He should be their, you know, lead guy at the goal line. So there's a lot to like about him. I think it's just a problem when people overvalue Ronald Jones, but this is not doing that by any stretch.
For sure. Real quick, guys, before our next pick, I want to tell you about the other sponsor of today's show, Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually, we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about. With a healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/FantasyPros and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/FantasyPros today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/FantasyPros. GetRoman.com/FantasyPros. All right, well, Michael Gallup went off the board after my pick, then Marquise Brown. Tags, I am typically very nice to you. I do not like this pick. You took Evan Engram here at the 705. So Evan Engram here to be your tight end one. I just don't see it, man. Give me your thought process here.
I mean, if you go and look at tight end, the position as a whole, and you say, okay, what are we going to justify drafting a tight end for? And volume is the number one thing that comes up with tight end. I did an article earlier this offseason on how many fantasy points players should have scored. And it basically tracks where they were targeted on the field. You know, if it was in the red zone, if it was out of the red zone, it was on the 5-yard line. They all have an expected fantasy outcome. And volume means everything to tight ends. It doesn't necessarily mean everything to wide receivers, believe it or not. But tight ends absolutely does. And Evan Engram is a guy that even if you removed a full target and a half from his projections from last year, you could still say that he's going to have elite target volume for a tight end. I'm not especially excited to draft Evan Engram, but to get him in the middle of the seventh round as a tight end that I can clearly lock in for 6.5-7 targets per game, because that's just who he is. He's not just a receiver. He also stays in the field to block. I like him quite a bit. And again, he's a different role than the wide receivers in terms of like Golden Tate, Darius Slayton, and Sterling Shepard, those guys battling with each other. Evan Ingram's biggest nemesis is Saquon Barkley. And knowing that Daniel Jones doesn't check down as much, Evan Engram does have value. And again, I know he's not a sexy pick. You don't feel great about drafting him, but I feel like I got tremendous value in the seventh round. Jamie, could you please be the tiebreaker in this?
I like Evan Engram here. You know, you look at it. Health is the thing for him. The foot injury from a year ago, you know, he battled leg injuries basically his entire career. Daniel Jones, they seem to show a little bit of a rapport. They didn't play very much together because of when he took over for Eli Manning and then when Engram went down. But he's a difference maker at that position, you know, and I think he got a pretty good reminder about what you can be if you're a difference maker watching George Kittle and Travis Kelce get paid. So, you know, if he goes out there and shows his receiving chops like I think he can, then he's going to have a chance to be, you know, one of these better tight ends. But I get it. You know, I think the thing that we're seeing, and, you know, you're looking at the tight ends that are still available now, this is the part where it gets ugly. You know, when you're at the veteran guys of Hooper and Cook, and you can throw Gronk in there, and then the unproven guys, Gesicki on down. So to get Evan Engram as your guy, that's certainly better than the guy I'm going to end up with. So if we want to make a trade, we can.
All right, I want to keep moving here. Jamie, you had back-to-back picks at the 709 and then the 804. You went with J.K. Dobbins, and I love this pick. And then Jamison Crowder. Talk to me about these two picks and why you selected them for your roster.
I like the way my draft started with my first six picks. And I think anytime you get a chance to take guys that are league winners, you try and, you know, swing for the fences, because I don't want to play for, you know, third or fourth place. I want to play for first. And so especially the way that my roster unfolded to start this draft, if J.K. Dobbins, as like I said about Kareem Hunt, if J.K. Dobbins ever gets a chance to be the guy there for the Ravens, and Mark Ingram is going to be 31 by the end of the season, 30 to start the season, and we saw him last year, you know, he missed week 16 with a calf injury. So J.K. Dobbins in this offense for Baltimore, we know would be a star. So everybody's saying 2021. If he takes the Gus Edwards role of 130 carries, then he's going to be, you know, I think in the flex conversation to begin with because he's a special talent. But again, if he starts for Mark Ingram at any point, then you like what you get there. And so to get him as my fourth running back, I was pretty thrilled with that. And then Crowder is, you know, he's not sexy. We know that. But he's going to be the best receiver for this Jets offense. The way that Adam Gase offense operates, you know, you saw it in Miami with Jarvis Landry. You saw it with Crowder last year. He's going to soak up targets from Sam Darnold. If you project the numbers that Darnold and Crowder would have put together over 16 games in the 13 games that they played, he's challenging, you know, for 85 catches, you know, I think it's like 1,100 yards and 7-8 touchdowns. I don't think he's got that type of ceiling, but I don't think he's that far off if, in fact, things go the way that I hope. And so, you know, to get him as a fourth receiver here as a potential flex option, I'm fine with that.
All right, Tags, you took Tariq Cohen at the 808. Talk to me about drafting Tariq Cohen here.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about him on the Boom Bust and Everything in Between podcast, where Tariq Cohen has been an RB2 or better in half of his games over the last 2 years. I don't really understand the hatred for him, because that number, by the way, is the same exact number as Marlon Mack in 2019. So plugging him in, like, I understand that Tariq Cohen wasn't great last year, but he still finished as a top 40 fantasy running back. The year before that, he was a top 15 fantasy running back. I think there's an area in between. Whereas if you're able to use him in the flex spot, or in this case, your second flex spot, which is where I have him, I feel really good about it, because I think he presents a solid floor because of how often he's used in the passing game. And again, if Trubisky struggles or if Foles struggles, dual quarterbacks there, it just gives them twice the chance at competent quarterback play. So I do think this offense gets a little bit better in 2020. I hope they do. Anyway, as a Bears fan, but Tariq Cohen, I feel like, is a value in drafts, and I put my money where my mouth is. I selected him over James White because I'm not in on James White this year.
I hope that John DeFilippo gets a say in this offense more so than he may as the quarterback's coach, because if that's the case, both running backs are going to benefit in the passing game.
Yeah,
that's a great point. All right, Matt Ryan at the 8-11 for my roster. I was looking at some of the options available. Typically, I'm going to wait on quarterback, but Matt Ryan, if we're looking at talking about Calvin Ridley, how much all of us love Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones being a top-tier guy. Hayden Hurst taking a step forward. This offense should be very pass-happy again. In 2020, Matt Ryan is a guy that I want shares of. And so to get him at the 8-11, I think is good value. I'm back on the clock here, and I am going to take Latavius Murray. And so I want to take a second here just really quick, because the other guys that were on the board at the wide receiver position, I am not a huge fan of. We're looking at Christian Kirk. Emmanuel Sanders was on the board. He went at the 903, but then guys like Mike Williams. I would have drafted Anthony Miller here, but I didn't want that much of the Bears offense, okay? I would have had Allen Robinson and David Montgomery on the same team along with Anthony Miller. So I went with Latavius Murray because it's the same kind of thought process with what Jamie is doing, right? With these guys of Kareem Hunt and J.K. Dobbins, if we talk about these guys that could be potential league winners, Latavius Murray falls into that camp. Where if something happens to Alvin Kamara, even if something doesn't happen to Alvin Kamara, this offense should be more efficient on the ground, should bounce back towards what they've typically been, which is more run heavy than they have been, than they were last season. So Latavius Murray at the 902 to be my RB6, guys. I still need to load up on wide receiver, but looking at the value late at running back, I don't like it. Looking at the value late at wide receiver, I love it. So I'm going to load up on another running back here at the 902. Tags, I know you're a fan of Latavius Murray. What do you think about getting him, especially when you factor in my roster construction right now?
All I'm seeing is red right now. Yates took Matt Ryan. So if you were watching the YouTube stream, you would know that I looked at the draft board and I seen that Yates and team one were the only teams without quarterbacks. And I thought that Matt Ryan would get back to me. I'm like, Yates isn't going to pick a quarterback. Well, he did. And he screwed up my plan. So instead of going back to quarterback, I don't feel the need to reach for one anymore. I felt like Matt Ryan was a tremendous value there. Latavius Murray in the ninth. I mean, the upside is just fantastic. It's very similar, and I don't hear anybody talking about it, and they're not drafted anywhere close to each other. But what's the difference between Kareem Hunt and Latavius Murray? Latavius Murray is going to have a role in this offense. He's going to get, I would say, 8 to 10 touches per week. And then if something were to happen to Alvin Kamara, we saw last year, Latavius Murray was the RB1 in fantasy football for those 2 weeks. So Latavius Murray, fantastic pick in the ninth round. I decided to go with Christian Kirk, someone that I drafted in a team recently that I ended up going running back heavy because it seemed like everybody was kind of fading running backs, and it was a weird draft, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll keep taking him. And then I got to the point where I needed a wide receiver three, and I paired Christian Kirk and Anthony Miller, and I put those guys together, and I was like, you know what, I feel like I'll be able to get a wide receiver three out of these guys most weeks. I should be able to predict between cornerback matchups and whatnot. I'm not especially high on Christian Kirk, but at the same time, I don't think we should erase him. He's a guy that last year, I mean, he was on pace for, I think, 120 something targets if he were to have played all 16 games. So I don't think he's just going to be erased because DeAndre Hopkins comes there. I think Larry Fitzgerald slowly fades away out of the picture, and that Christian Kirk is still someone that sees, you know, I would say probably 85 to 95 targets.
All right, I want to take a second before, Jamie, you do your pick here. I want to go through and look at the rosters. So, Jamie, you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders, DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, Terry McLaurin, Kareem Hunt, J.K. Dobbins, Jamison Crowder, and then you drafted Daryl Henderson here in the ninth round. I want to come back to you in just a second to get your thoughts on that pick. Tags, you have a roster of Alvin Kamara, Josh Jacobs, Juju Smith-Schuster, DJ Chark, Tyler Boyd, Evan Engram, James Conner, Tariq Cohen, and Christian Kirk. For my roster, I have Matt Ryan at quarterback, Saquon Barkley, Austin Eckler, Allen Robinson, and DK Metcalf. And then David Montgomery, DeAndre Swift, Ronald Jones, and Latavius Murray. Guys, I need some wide receivers. Okay, Jamie, you drafted Daryl Henderson. Let's talk about that pick. Obviously, crowded backfield, right? If you're looking at Cam Akers, but Daryl Henderson's going to have a role.
He should, and he may be the starter. I like Akers a lot. You know, I think he's in a great spot. You know, if we would have seen Jonathan Taylor or DeAndre Swift or, you know, Edward Solaire, for what it's worth, you know, anybody end up with the Rams, you would have said, oh, wow, okay, Todd Gurley's touches are vacated. Daryl Henderson struggled last year. Malcolm Brown's just a guy. But Akers ended up in that spot. And so I think Akers has a chance to be, you know, special talent. But Henderson, you know, this was, everybody was running him up the flagpole last year as he's going to be the best running back. He's going to, you know, take over for Todd Gurley because of the knee situation. And he didn't, and he struggled. But now's his time. And as we, you know, at least for us at CBS, I'm sure you guys have as well, with the lack of, you know, offseason for all these rookies, you know, Henderson could get off to a hot start and maybe hold on to the job. And you've heard Sean McVay say that they're going to approach it like the San Francisco backfield and use a running back by committee. So, yeah, he's going to have a role. To what role, we don't know. But in this spot in the draft, again, I'm looking for league winners. And if he's the starter or the leader in touches for the Rams, that's a pretty good value right now.
For sure. All right. And then you doubled it back up. You got the guy that I wanted, yep, but couldn't take for obvious reasons. You got him at the 10:04, Anthony Miller. Talk about Anthony Miller here and his opportunity in this Bears wide receiver room.
Again, another guy entering his third season, you know, some up and down production his first 2 years. But we see, you know, what this Bears offense looks like. It's Allen Robinson, Tariq Cohen in the passing game, and Anthony Miller should be right there as well. And so I'm hoping better quarterback play, you know, as you guys have alluded to, with whether it's a better Mitchell Trubisky or more likely the veteran and Nick Foles. And, you know, we'll see how this all unfolds for Miller, but this is his time to shine. And he took advantage of those, you know, games last year when Taylor Gabriel was out. Hopefully that's something he could build off. Hopefully that's something Matt Nagy realizes. But, you know, they've invested in him to be a significant, you know, pass catcher and contributor in this offense. And now's his time to prove it. And again, to get him as, you know, I like to take him as my fourth wide receiver, but to get him as my fifth, I was thrilled with that.
Absolutely. All right, Tags, you went with Mecole Hardman at the 10:08. I haven't seen you draft Mecole Hardman or talk. We haven't really talked about him at all this offseason. So let's talk about him right now. Mecole Hardman here to go to your roster. What do you think?
You know what? Chris Raybon actually helped me understand why I should get more Mecole Hardman on my team. Because basically, I looked at my roster and I said, I have Juju, I have DJ Chark, I have Tyler Boyd. I feel like I have competent players that I'm going to start every week. These are guys that I don't have to worry necessarily about matchups. Tyler Boyd, big slot guy. DJ Chark, the number one target on his team. Obviously, Juju the same. So then you look at your bench and you get there and you're just like, why am I not shooting for the ceiling with these guys? These are guys that I'm not going to be starting. So if they turn into something, they can be that. Mecole Hardman, they're taking him off special teams. That's massive. They did the same thing with Tyreek Hill. Now, I do worry about the fact that there is already Tyreek Hill in this offense. They don't need another Tyreek Hill, but if they're going to start fading Sammy Watkins' snaps a little bit, Mecole Hardman was like one of the most efficient wide receivers of all time last year. And I was kind of pushed into picking him here, actually, because, well, Jamie screwed me over, taking Anthony Miller, and then Jalen Reagor came off the board. Those were, like, every single time, if you guys were actually, like, in my head throughout this draft, and, like, I was telling you exactly what was happening every single time, it's almost every single time someone's being taken that I was, like, planning on taking that I thought would be there. And, well, it just hasn't gone as planned, but I'm not Mecole Hardman in the 10th round. He typically goes in, like, the 9th.
All right, I went with Preston Williams here at the 10:11 to be my wide receiver 3. Now, the way that I've approached building my roster is that I'm going to cycle in. I'm just going to rotate in these guys into my wide receiver 3 spot. And Tags alluded to it earlier, looking at cornerback matchups. If we're looking at Preston Williams, now granted, I don't think he's going to be ready to start the season. He might miss one or two games or might not be full strength, right? He might play, but limited snaps. So I'm not going to rely on Preston Williams early on. There's another guy that I'm, you know, I can draft these other guys later, and I'm pretty much just going to go wide receiver for the rest of this draft. But looking at Preston Williams, he had great chemistry with Ryan Fitzpatrick last year. He actually showed us a lot that he can contribute right away, even out of the gate as an undrafted rookie. So I think a full off season, again, he's going to be rehabbing, of course, but at the back end of the 10th round to be my wide receiver 3, I'm fine with that. And I don't need to rely on him. I'm going to go back here at the 11:02. I'm going to go back to the wide receiver position. I'm going to take Justin Jefferson. If we're looking at Justin Jefferson, he was one of my favorite receivers. I had him as like my wide receiver 3, I think, in this draft above CeeDee Lamb coming out in my dynasty big board. So Justin Jefferson landing in Minnesota, Tags alluded to earlier, this is going to be a very run heavy team. But when you're talking about Adam Thielen, who struggled with injury last year, Justin Jefferson is assuming the Stephon Diggs role. And granted, that didn't lead to a ton of targets last season by no stretch of the imagination. But with Justin Jefferson, if Adam Thielen misses time, he's going to be the wide receiver one in this offense. And so a guy that I don't need to rely on, again, as my a guy that I can rotate into my wide receiver three spot, depending on matchups, this is a guy that I'm fine drafting here at the 11:02.
Yep. And I mean, I wonder about the whole offense as a whole. But again, you're talking about if Adam Thielen, a guy that's dealt with back issues and stuff like that, if he were to miss time, Jefferson's the clear cut number one. And there's a map to him like getting on the field, like he's going to be on the field, but getting more targets than we expect. So no issue there. I took Carson Wentz at 11:05. I felt like the value at quarterback had just gone too far. Wentz is a guy that's been a QB1 in at least half of his games through each of the last three seasons. The only other quarterback that can actually say that is Deshaun Watson. That's it. Wentz, you know, getting an upgrade in Jalen Reagor in the offense. Obviously, Dallas Goedert continues to grow. Miles Sanders is a better receiver than he's ever had out of the backfield. So I do like Carson Wentz an awful lot. So getting him in 11th round, I feel good about it.
You got me.
I was considering Carson Wentz above Matt Ryan two rounds earlier. So to get him here at the 11:05, I really like that value. All right, Jamie, you're up at the 11:09. What were you going
to
say?
Oh, you got me. I was going to take Wentz there. So kudos to you.
It's payback, I guess.
All right, Jamie, we saw you take Zach Moss, and I wrote an article recently talking about how Zach Moss, it's a surprise that he's going off the board at like the RB48 in ADP. I think he's the starter in this offense. You're going to move him to the first and second down work, and then you're going to have Devin Singletary be the change of pace option. Is that the way you see it, or are you just purely capitalizing on value and the fact that he could potentially be this guy?
Sort of a hybrid. Yeah, I could see him eventually taking over again. You know, the rookies, I think, are going to take some time to, you know, take hold of some of the opportunities that they have. But if he does, you know, even if he has the Frank Gore role, he'll be better in the Frank Gore role. And over the course of the season, even though, you know, it sort of split first half, second half, but Gore was their touch leader. Gore was their guy inside the 10-yard line, the guy inside the 5-yard line. You know, Josh Allen, I think 4 of his 9 rushing touchdowns came on failed rushing attempts from Frank Gore trying to punch it in. So if he's their touchdown leader and the carries are somewhat split, and maybe he's a better pass catcher than Devin Singletary, then by the end of the season, he is going to be better than Singletary. So, you know, we spoke to Joe Buscaglia, who covers the Bills for The Athletic. And, you know, one thing that Joe tried to hit home was that you saw the offense really take shape and look like what I think they were hoping it to look like when Singletary went on that run toward the end of the season. But still, I think Zach Moss has a chance to, you know, come in and be the better running back there. So yeah, it's good value pick for me that he fell this far.
Absolutely. We saw Tony Pollard go off the board right after at the 11:10, and then Alexander Mattison at the 11:12, Rob Gronkowski off the board at the 12:02. But then Jamie, you finally took your quarterback here at the 12:04. You grabbed Tom Brady. You said earlier, no risk it, no biscuit. Are we taking that mentality here with Tom Brady, or what's your thought process?
He's sort of the, you know, last between him and Stafford for me, the last of the starting caliber guys that you want. It's such a deep position. If I would have missed on Brady after, you know, Tags got me with Wentz, you know, Roethlisberger, Daniel Jones, Cam Newton, you know, there's so many quarterbacks, Jared Goff, you know, there's just so many guys you can take one, take two and be happy with it. But at this point, I like my stable of running backs and receivers. So it was just easy to take, you know, a guy who has 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns in front of him stepping into this Tampa Bay offense.
I mean, too many weapons for him to fail. I mean, you're talking about Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, OJ Howard, to then the running backs of Ronald Jones, Keyshawn Vaughn, LeSean McCoy. I just think this is too loaded of a wide receiver core that he's going to be consistent week in and week out. I like the pick there. Tags, you took Antonio Gibson here at the 12:08. This is a guy who has been shooting up draft boards. I love the value here. Where do you think he is going to go if most leagues are drafting, let's say 2 weeks from today, towards the end of August? Where is Gibson going to go? Let's put on your fortune teller, you know, the forecasting. Where is he going to go in drafts? Is he going to go this late?
No, he's not going to go this late. You're starting to see an ECR. I want to say he's inside the top 40 running backs now. So he's going to go as a pick inside the top 10 rounds. He might go as high as round 8. I'm not going to own him there. But in the 12th round, I'm absolutely willing to take that shot because, you know, as you've talked about Yates, you mentioned his athleticism and the fact that he's a physical specimen at 6 foot, 228 pounds, running a 4.3 40. The guy is fantastic, but we can't forget that he's only had 77 touches to his name since he started college. And as a gauge as to how few touches that is, I mean, JD McKissick, the other guy on that roster, actually had more touches than him last year alone. And McKissick is, well, let's be honest, it's McKissick. But the fact that, again, this is a bench player that we're looking for that upside. He's Ron Rivera labeled him as a running back, but he is taking part in some of the wide receiver meetings as well. So Antonio Gibson, if you get him outside the top 10 rounds, I'm cool with it. So getting him in the 12th round, I felt like it was a good value for the upside that he could potentially present.
All right, guys, at the 12-11, I went with Jonnu Smith. Big shocker. Jamie, I haven't talked to you about Jonnu Smith yet this offseason. I'm ridiculously high on Jonnu Smith. I think he's one of the most athletic tight ends in the NFL. He's now walking into an opportunity with Delanie Walker out of town. What are your thoughts on Jonnu Smith?
I'm with you. He's got a big opportunity in front of him. You know, I think it's going to come down to clearly the volume in this offense, because as we saw, they didn't want to throw the ball very much last year, you know, and will that change dramatically? But if you look at their pass catchers, I mean, he should be, in my opinion, second in targets. I mean, Corey Davis has clearly been a bust. Adam Humphries is, you know, a guy that we spoke to on our show on CBS Sports HQ on Friday, to Terry McCormick, who covers the Titans for TitansInsider.com. And, you know, he brought up Adam Humphries as, you know, sort of a chain mover for them. But if I'm the Titans, I'm looking at it and saying, okay, I got this, you know, beast of a receiver in A.J. Brown. I got a great running back. And then my second pass catcher will hopefully be Jonnu Smith. So he's in that tight end group for me of, you know, once you get past probably Gronk, you know, of a guy that I'll probably end up taking now in Mike Gesicki, Blake Jarwin, Noah Fant, T.J. Hockenson. I think Jonnu Smith could be the leader of that group. If things break right for him, he's going to be a, you know, really special player. So I like the enthusiasm, because he's somebody that I tend to target as well.
Perfect. I love hearing that. Okay, well, at the 1302, I went with Michael Pittman Jr. Guys, this might be like my first share of actually drafting Michael Pittman Jr. anywhere this offseason. I am very, very high on this guy coming into the Indianapolis Colts offense. You have T.Y. Hilton, who has been oft injured, and then you have Paris Campbell, who is unproven. I like Paris Campbell, but Michael Pittman Jr. fits the profile of what Phillip Rivers loves to target. And so this guy, who I was extremely impressed with coming out of college, again, he's another rookie wide receiver. So there are some concerns there. How quickly does he adjust? But he's going to be on the field like all the time. He's not coming off the field at his size. Even when they go to 12 personnel, he's going to be on the field. So to get him here at the 1302, I really like that value. And then again, he's this guy that I can just rotate in. Tags, you took Paris Campbell at the 1305. Let's get your quick thoughts here on Paris Campbell.
I did. That was my first celebration of the draft. I was like, please don't fall. You know, I was, and I knew that you were going to go Pittman, but I was hoping that nobody else would take Paris Campbell. Paris Campbell, a guy that they were extremely high on last year in the second round, obviously took him over someone like DK Metcalf. Love him. I think he's playable all over the formation. He's healthy coming into the year. T.Y. Hilton a little bit behind. Didn't have the time with Phillip Rivers that maybe Paris Campbell did. They're talking about moving Paris Campbell into the slot. And, you know, there are certainly types of wide receivers that Phillip Rivers has targeted over his career, like Vincent Jackson, Mike Williams types. But then he also has those Keenan Allen types over the middle of the field, his tight ends. So Paris Campbell, a guy that's electric with the ball in his hands, knows the offense. Michael Pittman might be a little bit behind just because, again, he is a rookie in a weird offseason. So I definitely don't fault you for Pittman. I think he's a dark horse to lead that team in touchdowns, but I like Paris Campbell a little better.
For sure. All right, Jamie, you took Mike Gesicki at the 1309 to fill out your tight end spot. We haven't really talked a ton about Mike Gesicki, but then I want to get your thoughts on him. But then you, at the 1404, you took Alan Lazard, which I love that value on potentially, arguably, the wide receiver two in this offense. So let's get your quick hitting thoughts here on Mike Gesicki and then Alan Lazard.
Yeah, Gesicki, as we saw, you know, closed the season playing really well. Again, he's in that tight end group with Jonnu and for me, Jarwin, Fant, Hockenson. You know, once you get past basically like the top 10 tight ends, and I'm not really sold on Austin Hooper being great with the Browns and Jared Cook with the addition of Emmanuel Sanders. So I think Gesicki is going to be, at worst, the third option in this passing game, maybe the second option if Preston Williams' knee is not right. But you know, there's a rapport already established with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know the story. Chan Gailey maybe doesn't love tight ends as much as the previous regime, but Gesicki, you know, basically is like their slot receiver, especially now with Albert Wilson and Allen Hurns gone. So I like the opportunity for him, and there's no probably better opportunity for a receiver like what Alan Lazard is stepping into. He finished last year as their second guy. He's going to open this year as their second guy without Devin Funches there for sure. You know, MVS and ESB and all the initials that they have at wide receiver in Green Bay. I think Lazard is just in a better spot. So, you know, like you said, the value was in my opinion, very good to be my sixth receiver.
All right. And then Tags, at the 1408, you went with a pick that I did not expect, but you went DeAndre Washington, backup running back, arguably for the Kansas City Chiefs. Are you just trying to attach yourself to this offense? What's the thought process?
I really am. If for whatever reason Clyde Edwards-Helaire were to miss some time, because Edwards-Helaire is the guy, that's for sure. But DeAndre Washington, in the small opportunities that he's gotten, I think he's been fantastic. And I think he was facing an uphill battle in Las Vegas. He's facing an uphill battle in Kansas City. But again, if he's the number two running back in that offense, he's absolutely going to be worth something as a handcuff. I actually had Alan Lazard in my queue. As a player that I was going to be targeting with that pick as well. So that was
gotcha again.
Yeah, it was a fantastic pick. And I, what's funny is after you did that, and then I thought about Washington, I'm like, wait a minute, Jamie drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I feel a little bit better about tagging DeAndre Washington in this draft. But yeah, he's one of those guys that's super high upside handcuff.
All right, I took Randall Cobb at the 14-11, and this is purely just based off of roster construction. I'm looking at the guys that I have potentially sliding into my wide receiver three spot, where I have Preston Williams, Justin Jefferson, Michael Pittman. All of those guys have major question marks, right? There's a reason why they've been drafted this late. But I know that Randall Cobb in this offense, they have a plan to use him. He is going to be utilized in this offense. He might not be the most sexy pick. It's the reason why he's here at the back end of the 14th round. But if I can plug in Randall Cobb, and I can know that I can at least get wide receiver three production from him, right? I don't need wide receiver one production. I've got great guys like Allen Robinson and DK Metcalf who can provide that. But if I can just get someone that's stable, I know that Randall Cobb is going to see 6 to 7 targets per game, and he could potentially do something with it. Averaged 15 yards per reception last season in Dallas. So this is mostly just me trying to talk my way into this pick. But Randall Cobb at the back end of the 14th round, I'll take it. Okay. And then I'm back on the clock at the 15:02, and I have no idea, guys, what I'm going to do.
You got two receivers that should be good.
I mean, you got quite the selection there.
I'll tell you, I mean, look, Brandon Ayuk's going to be a rookie, but Deebo Samuel is going to miss the start of the season.
I know. That's where I'm going. I'm going with Brandon Ayuk because, and Brandon Ayuk's tape for me was extremely confusing. There were some games that I watched the first time that I went through and watched his tape. I was like, I do not like this guy. I don't know why he's getting first round buzz. And then I went back later on in the offseason and before the draft and I watched his tape again. I was like, okay, this guy is a for sure first rounder. I don't know what the heck the difference was between watching the games that I did. But Brandon Ayuk in this offense, and Jamie mentioned it, Deebo Samuel most likely going to miss the start of the season. Guys, they're signing J.J. Nelson and Tavon Austin. Okay, if that doesn't indicate that Deebo Samuel's missing the start of the season, that means that Brandon Ayuk could be in line for a huge target share right away. With the way that I've constructed my roster, I need someone who's going to contribute right away. And so, especially if Preston Williams isn't ready to go. So if I can get Brandon Ayuk and I can plug him in and he can get 5-6 targets week one, maybe even more than that, I know that I have at least some production there at my wide receiver three spot. And then if he, you know, Deebo Samuel comes back and Brandon Ayuk moves to, you know, isn't as much of a factor, then I can cut him. I can cut him for waiver pickups. So absolutely.
I'll tell you, Brandon, you know, just in the same vein, you know, because I have 5 receivers that I really like. And I'll tell you, I was torn between Lazard and Ayuk because I think Lazard has a safer floor. But I think you've heard me mention a few times, you know, about league winners. If Samuel, and it might not be 6 weeks, you know, that Jones fracture is no joke.
Right.
If he's out for, you know, let's say 10 games, I trust Kyle Shanahan. I've seen Kyle Shanahan do a lot of good things with a lot of junk players, and they traded up to get this kid. They didn't, you know, mess around. They wanted Brandon Ayuk. He was probably, like you said, his tape wasn't impressive. His numbers weren't impressive. Nobody was talking about him in the first round, ahead of Justin Jefferson, who had a ton of buzz, as we're well aware. So, you know, they like this kid a lot. And I think the fact that tells you something about what his role is going to be, even if Samuel was on the field. So, you know, Ayuk is the type of guy, like, for my team, the way it was built, probably would have made more sense. Because if he hits, I'm never playing Alan Lazard unless, you know, I suffer injuries. But Ayuk, you know, if he's this year's Terry McLaurin or this year's, you know, DK Metcalf, whatever the rookie you want to attach it to, he has that type of upside if Samuel is out for that length of time.
Okay, I wasn't sold on my pick, but after Jamie's rant there, I am totally sold. Brandon Ayuk there at the 15:02. Okay.
I can't co-sign your Randall Cobb pick, but I'll co-sign this one.
Okay, all right, that's fair enough. Okay, so then tags at the 15:05, you took the Patriots defense. Just getting that defense out of the way, what was your thought process taking them at the 15th round?
I knew the guy that I wanted would be available in the last round, so I said, you know what, I'll just take the top defense now and kind of just figure out my last pick. But again, he'll be there. It's just a matter, it's all about strategy, basically.
For sure. Okay, and then at the 15:09, Jamie, you took a guy that I'm a fan of, Josh Kelly in Los Angeles. What are you seeing here with Josh Kelly? Do you think he's going to be that perfect complement to Austin Ekeler?
Yeah, I guess first I should clarify. I keep saying the rookie is going to have, you know, some struggles, and I think four of them with or three running backs for sure. Edwards-Helaire, J.K. Dobbins and Josh Kelly. Oh, and Zach Moss. So I do have four. But there's 200-plus touches available with Melvin Gordon gone, and I don't think Justin Jackson is that great of a talent. And so Josh Kelly didn't have a great, you know, college, you know, career, certainly in 2019 with UCLA, but he had a good Senior Bowl. I think he's going to have an opportunity to come in here and challenge for that job. You guys have said it. Austin Ekeler doesn't necessarily profile as a 20-touch-a-week guy. He might, you know, he had some good moments in the first four games last year when Melvin Gordon was out. But if Josh Kelly impresses the coaches enough to say, okay, he's the Melvin Gordon player, you know, who has scored 9 touchdowns in each of the last 4 seasons, so he's the guy working at the goal line, I think it's just an easy guy to stick at the end of your bench to see what happens. It's very similar to Brandon Ayuk. You know, if these type of players hit, these are the guys that either become trade chips for you if, you know, you flip them when they get hot for maybe a short period, or if you ride it out for a significant period of time. So I like the opportunity to draft Josh Kelly this late.
I love that too. And then you at the 1604, you took your defense, and I don't know why we haven't been talking about the Chargers defense more this offseason, but you look at that roster, holy crap. Like, this is one of the most talented defenses in the NFL, and they get a rookie Joe Burrow in week one. So I love the pick here of the Chargers defense at the 1604.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, amazing pass rush. They add Chris Harris to that secondary with Derwin James and the cornerbacks that they have there with Hayward. I mean, it could be a really nasty group, you know, Bosa and Ingram getting after the quarterback. So yeah, it's going to be fun to watch them.
And then tags at the 1608, you took Corey Davis. You alluded that this was a guy that you knew was going to be there. That's for sure. I wasn't taking him. But 1608, Corey Davis, is this just more a dart throw than anything else?
Yeah, it's kind of like a little reminiscent of Devontae Parker from last year. Obviously, he's not the clear-cut number one receiver on the team. But if A.J. Brown were to miss any time or anything like that, Corey Davis has never played with a quarterback like Ryan Tannehill. I know Marcus Mariota was considered once to be a good quarterback, but he's really not. He never was. And, you know, A.J. Brown has really only been seen on the field with Ryan Tannehill. So I don't want to write off Corey Davis just yet, who's now in a contract year.
You'll find out right away what you have with him too in this offense. Is Jonnu Smith going to be the number two target, or is Corey Davis? So we'll find out really quickly. All right, guys, that is the end of the draft. I took Denver Broncos defense there with the 1611. So there's not really much analysis there. It's just a really good defense, so I'll take them. All right, guys, let's go through. Well, first off, let's find out these draft grades here. All right, so Jamie, you're our guest. You get to go first. What was your final draft grade here?
I got an A, 93 out of 100.
Okay. All right, well, I got a 91 out of 100, so he's already beat me. Tags, what'd you get?
Hold on a second. I'm just grabbing my trophy. It's so heavy. It seriously is. If you guys could see on the YouTube stream, I have a giant trophy here. And this is my second one in a row. I got a 94 out of 100. I am stoked to be the champ again, guys. I'm sorry that I left you in the dust, but I will say this though: you were great competition, because if you look at the actual projected standings in the next page, you'll see that I was number one. I only beat Jamie by 4 points in this, and then Jamie was only on top of Kyle by 19 points. So we were the number 1, 2, and 3 teams. I can't say I disagree. I also can't say I disagree that I have the best team. I did like Jamie's, but I think I rounded out my bench a little bit more than I thought. So it feels good.
All right, well, stop talking. So, okay, let's go through and just read through the rosters. Jamie, you want to read through your team?
It was Tom Brady quarterback, Miles Sanders, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire as the starting running backs. DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, Terry McLaurin at the receiver spot. Mike Gesicki at tight end. Kareem Hunt and J.K. Dobbins would be my flexes as of now. But Jameson Crowder, Anthony Miller, Alan Lazard receivers on the bench with Daryl Henderson, Zach Moss, and Joshua Kelly.
Yeah, I like your team. The only thing that I think that gave me the edge is having Dobbins as the flex, just because obviously he's not projected to be the starter right away. But I do dig that team, though. It's a really good football team.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Tags, go ahead. Let's hear your championship team.
Carson Wentz is my quarterback. My running backs, Alvin Kamara and Josh Jacobs. My wide receivers, Juju Smith-Schuster, DJ Chark, Tyler Boyd, tight end Evan Engram, flex spots, James Conner and Tariq Cohen. Feel confident with those two. Defense, the Patriots, and then my bench is littered with upside with Christian Kirk, Antonio Gibson, Mecole Hardman, Paris Campbell, DeAndre Washington, and Corey Davis.
All right, and then for me, I had Matt Ryan as my quarterback, Saquon Barkley and Austin Ekeler at my running back spots, Allen Robinson, DK Metcalf, Preston Williams, Jonnu Smith at tight end, and then David Montgomery and DeAndre Swift in my flex, and then the Denver Broncos defense. And then for my bench, I had Ronald Jones, Latavius Murray, Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk, Michael Pittman Jr., and Randall Cobb. So I definitely think the grade factored in the fact that Preston Williams is my wide receiver 3. And I'm not super crazy about that, but to have my running back depth, I certainly like. And like Jamie alluded to earlier, you can take these guys and trade them, right? Like, you can take my running back depth and I can definitely trade them for some other pieces here to balance it out. So anyway, that is going to do it for today, guys. Let us know which team you think won. Head over to youtube.com/fantasypros and in the comments there, drop that comment, which team you think won the draft. All right, that is all the time we have for today. Huge thank you to Jamie Eisenberg for coming on and chatting with us. Thanks so much, man.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, you guys.
All right, don't forget to follow him on Twitter if you don't already, at Jamie Eisenberg. And that is going to do it today, guys. And again, a huge thank you to Pristine Auction for sponsoring today's podcast. If you're looking for authentic sports memorabilia at unbelievably affordable prices, head over to pristineauction.com. Register for a free account and make sure to enter in Fantasy Pros, all one word, in the registration code field to receive a $5 credit for your first order. Again, that's pristineauction.com. And also thank you to Roman for sponsoring today's podcast. Don't forget to head over to getroman.com/fantasypros today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/fantasypros. For Mike Taglier and Jamie Eisenberg, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see oceanside relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.